You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Remain standing as I read our foundational scripture for today. Notice I don't call it a text, I call it a foundational, because y'all know the way I preach, I don't just use one text. So it's the foundation. The rest of it will be built upon this. Psalms 34, 11 through 14 says, "Come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." Look, somebody say, watch your mouth, watch your mouth. "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." You may be seated. This scripture is also recorded in the New Testament. Peter quotes it in 1 Peter 3, 10 through 12, reminding the same thing. And that is good, because there are people who start teaching this stuff that the Old Testament, we don't need those scriptures anymore. If we didn't need it, the scriptures wouldn't be repeating it and reminding us what it says in the New Testament. But this scripture passage is attempting to give the reader and the listener a strategy for longevity. That's my subject today. A strategy for longevity. And can't remember if I heard somebody else say this or it came up out of my spirit. Sometimes I'll say things and then I'll just write it down. And I had a note in my Google Docs that said, when the Lord gave me a thought, it says, new sermon. And I wrote the title down, not knowing when I was going to preach it. But the Lord brought this back to me, a strategy for longevity. And this psalm basically gives two things you need to do, and we're going to unpack it even more, if we're going to have longevity. One, he said, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies, which is what I had to tell your neighbor. In other words, the first thing you need to watch your mouth. Now, when I even hear that, I'm a little triggered when I hear watch your mouth, because my mother had a habit of slapping me and then saying watch your mouth. Now, I wish she said watch your mouth first, but I would say something and she would go, watch your mouth, okay? And the second thing, he says, turn away from evil and do good, search for peace, and work to maintain it. So second thing, he's talking about our behavior. He gives a strategy for longevity. He says, watch your mouth, what you say, and secondly, watch your behavior, what you do, if we're going to have longevity. Longevity is long duration. Longevity is enduring for a long time. And if you're going to have a strategy for longevity for your life, you have to start asking yourself some hard questions. Why do we need a strategy for longevity? Because I've been saying over the last several months now, we got to think long and wide. You got to think long. How is this going to affect me, my life, my family, my finances, my marriage, years down the road? And also thinking wide, who else is this going to affect? You know, you'd be surprised how many people make decisions. You know, people say things like, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. You ever hear people say that? When people say that, those are people who are not thinking long or wide, right? Because somebody loves them. You know, it's like if when someone commits suicide, yes, they may think that they're eliminating whatever troubles that they may be going through, or whatever issues they may have in their mind, or whatever they're facing, but then other people are affected by that years later. Children are affected, and you know, sometimes people have to move out of a home because the home is where the person committed suicide. So when we make decisions, it doesn't affect just us. And so strategy for longevity, you have to ask yourself some hard questions about your life. And I think I said last week, you know, I know you're young now and you're partying now, but your plan for the rest of your life can't be to twerk the rest of your life. At some point, the twerking gonna come to an end. Yeah. Brothers, I know you're running around chasing women, but there's gonna come a time you can't catch them. You ain't gonna be able to catch them. So you gotta have a strategy for longevity. I said to someone the other day, one of our entrepreneurs in our church, I said to him, I said, how long you plan on working? He said, to 95 if I can. I said, do you really want to do that? He said, yeah. I said, but suppose you're not able to do that, okay? He said, I enjoy what I, and it's wonderful that you enjoy what you're doing, but I'm often telling people, what's your strategy for longevity? Because you may not be able to do what you're doing 30 years from now. And what you're doing today may be irrelevant 30 years from now. The money you have today, what are you doing to maintain for years to come? So some of the hard questions you have to ask yourself regarding strategy for longevity is, how will I maintain or sustain this? How will I maintain or sustain this? How long will this last? I know it seems real good now, but how long will this last? What will happen when or if? What will be the long-term effects of? You know, I heard something the other day. I heard something, I think it was on my way to the office. So I couldn't listen to the whole story. I think it was on NPR talking about how the tobacco industry really were targeting, at one point, African Americans. They targeted African Americans, and they came up with titles and names for the cigarettes specifically to go after African Americans, like Cools. Yeah, it was strategy. Cool to get African Americans because, you know, back in the 70s, everybody wanted to be cool, okay? And to me, seriously, y'all, anybody who smokes don't have a strategy for longevity. Oh, and by the way, study just came out this week for all the cannabis advocates about smoking cannabis and all the that you are 30 and 40% more likely to have a stroke or heart attack if you smoke cannabis. Weed, herb, tree. When I was coming along, it was reefer. Some of y'all don't even know what reefer is. But to me, people, you know, Lord, help me. What you do in your 30s and your 40s, you start paying the price in your 50s and your 60s. I know you got a lot of energy now. Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, I gotta say what I gotta say. With all that extra weight, how's that gonna be 20 years from now? When your bones are different? No, come on, don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help us think long-term about a strategy for longevity. You can get a house and you're making all this money today. How are you going to pay for that house in 20 years from now when you retire? Are y'all listening to me? Strategy for longevity. A lot of these things can address simply by insurance. Okay? Insurance helps you to have longevity. Insurance helps you to answer the question of, how's this going to be maintained? What will happen if? Like, if I die, or put it this way, what's happened when I die? What's going to happen with my family? How are they going to continue this? What will be the long-term effects of this? What will this look like 10, 20, 30 years from now? All those are questions of longevity. And many of us, we only think for the moment. And I've been saying this for the last few months. We got to think long and think wide. Susie Orman, many of you know who Susie Orman is. She's a financial guru, coach, whatever. And I get these emails that she sends, and I guess they're targeted specifically to folks in my age bracket. Okay? And a recent email, it was addressed to retirees and people getting close to retirement. And she, and I'm reading in the quotes, I'm quoting it. She said, "If you have decided to stay put for a while time in your house or forever, it's so important to make certain homes safe and comfortable, to make your current home safe and comfortable for your retirement years. The time to do remodeling projects is now. If you can afford it, when you're healthy and can't imagine being a bit older with a few more aches or worse. At the top of the list of things to consider is whether you could live comfortably on the first floor of your current home." He said, "Ask any contractor who's done work for older clients, and they'll tell you that they often get a call after somebody has fallen, after someone can't go upstairs, or just the wear and tear of old age, and now there's an immediate need to remodel the downstairs to have a bedroom, a bathroom that can accommodate a walker, and a walk-in shower that doesn't require stepping into a bathtub. And the clients, they want it done immediately, and generally it's going to take some months." Why? Because somebody wasn't thinking about longevity. It's wise to think beyond today. It's wise to think beyond today. So they didn't have a strategy for longevity. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about longevity. Bible speaks a lot about longevity. It says, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." That's recorded in three scriptures, Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:13, and Matthew 13:13. "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Talking about longevity. We all like to quote Psalm 91, "He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." But then we get down there in that chapter, it says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Can I tell you, it's the will of God for you to have a long life. I said, it's the will of God for you to have a long life. I remember one of my friends several years ago, they challenged me because I kept using the term about premature death. And they had never thought about premature death. They said, "Well, a person dies when he's supposed to die." And I said, "No, that's not true. There's such a thing as premature death. You died because you made bad decisions. They died because they didn't take care of their body. It wasn't just they died when they, God said, with long life will I satisfy you." Okay? And even most of us traditionally in church, we've heard 70 or 80 years. 70 and 80 years. But when you hear 70 or 80 years, it was talking about Moses was complaining to God about the people dying off in the wilderness who had to die before the next generation go in. He said, "Lord, our days are only 70. A score is 20. 60 and 10. 70, he said, if they're really strong, they might live to 80. He was complaining that the people are dying too young. Because God tells us in Genesis, he said the man's days were supposed to be 120. So it's the will of God for us to live long lives. But we can do things to shorten those lives because we don't have a strategy for longevity. I know everything you eat is good to you, but you need to have a strategy for this longevity. Man shall not live by pig feet and chitlins. You need a strategy, okay? You need a strategy. Proverbs 3:2, it says, first verse tells us, said, "My son, listen to my words, listen to my commandments, get wisdom." Why? "Because length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." So this tells us that if we live by the word, y'all, we can have length of days and long life living by the word. Now, I know we all want to go to heaven, but that don't mean we want to go today. Amen. So length of days and long life is what God wants us to live a good, long life here on earth, so you need a strategy for longevity. That verse from the Message translation says, they'll help you live a long, long time, a long life, full and well. Come on, say, Lord, thank you that I live a long, long time, live full, and live well. Now, because I'll be honest. I mean, the Bible said, you know, to be with the Lord is far better. So if I'm going to live here on earth, I want things to be well. You know what I'm saying? I want a quality life. Okay? I don't want to just say I'm here. It's like a marriage. You don't want to have a long marriage. You want to have a quality marriage. Amen? So to avoid crisis in the future, you need a strategy for longevity. You need a strategy for longevity in the present. Psalm 34, 11 through 14. The New Living Translation of that verse that we read as our foundation scripture says, come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Anybody want to live a life that's long and prosperous? Amen. Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. This is not legalism. This is not law. These are principles to have a good long life. You got to think long. That means you got to think about your decision today, months, years, decades. And then you need to be thinking legacy. Legacy is beyond your life. I address the financial leaders of this church who have over the years helped us to do the things that we do in a very significant way. And many of us are getting on in years now. And I addressed them and talked about, at this point, some of us, we're going to have to start thinking, we need to think about legacy. How do I continue to do and give to the things that I love and help maintain even my church that I love beyond my life? And there's ways that we can do that. And we're going to be talking about that and giving people opportunities to do that. But he says here that you got to think long. You got to think months. You got to think years. You got to think decades. You got to think legacy beyond today. Now, we all know that one of the things that immature people do, let's say children, teenagers, they only think for today. Am I right? Am I right about it? Okay? They only think for today. And that's understandable when you're kids. But when you grow up, you can't just think for today. You just can't think for today. You know, he hasn't done it now, but some of y'all know I ride a motorcycle. Have I rode it this year? I don't think I rode it this year. I've been warm enough to ride this year. But years ago, Tyler used to say, Dad, I'm going to get a motorcycle too. And I said, wait till you're 30-something and you're married and you got some children. Because when you're married, you got children, you think about how that's going to affect them. When I see these fools, I mean these people, riding down the interstate on one of those, whatever they call those motorcycles, just doing 100 miles an hour, going in and out, I'm like, that's a fool right there. That's obviously somebody who's not thinking long and strong. That's somebody who's not thinking, don't have a strategy for longevity. As you get older, you start realizing, no, I'm responsible for people. What I do is going to affect somebody else. I can't just live for myself. Living for yourself is selfish. So you got to think long, then you got to think wide. Wide means, how will my choices affect my spouse? How does my choices affect my children? How does my health affect other people? Amen. How do my finances, how's that going to affect other people? I was watching something last night, and I ain't really throwing him up under the bus. He threw himself under the bus. But I was watching last night, they had this new series coming on CNN called United States of Scandal. Have any of us seen it? The very first one, they covered our former governor, Sanford. Remember when he was supposed to be going for, our governor was gone. He was like AWOL. Y'all didn't know nothing about it. We didn't know where he was. And he was taking a trip, supposedly on the Appalachian Trail, where he really was going to see his boo thing down in Argentina. And he lost his mind. And he came back, and they showed when the person finally confronted him coming from Atlanta, they suspected him. They said, Governor, where you come from? And he freaked out, and then he came right back and had a press conference. And they were talking about how he just, like, expected everybody just, like, to understand. You know, I've fallen in love. You got a wife and kid, but I've fallen in love. And, it's saying this just wasn't a sexual thing. I'm in love. Like that, like we care. Then they showed last night John Edwards. Anybody remember John Edwards? Oh, John Edwards was the man. John Edwards, Barack Obama ended up getting the nomination, but John Edwards, he was young, he was attractive, he had it going on, and they thought that he was probably going to be the next presidential candidate, but he had an affair with a woman on his campaign, and then he got her pregnant. And he white. I know this sounds like Negroid stuff. don't be making this, don't be stereotyping people. Okay? And he got her pregnant, and then he tried to have somebody else on his campaign to say it was his baby. And they were covering this last night, how he just dug in. He just kept digging in. They were like, just stop. Just acknowledge I messed up. And he kept digging in. No, and now why some of y'all ain't gonna remember. The National Enquirer is the one who exposed this. No, other ones wouldn't do it. And the National Enquirer ended up getting a Pulitzer Prize. Because no, they uncovered this. They even had a picture. He goes to California to have a picture of him going to visit her with the baby. And then he's on ABC News, and they ask him about it. He says, I don't recognize that picture. I don't know where this picture comes from. I don't know who this child is. And everybody's like, stop. Just stop. And on top of that, let me add, his wife was dealing with breast cancer. And then his wife ended up dying while he's telling all these lies on a campaign trail having an affair. Obviously, and he kept digging in and kept, he did not think about how his life was going to affect other people. At his wife's funeral, I was watching on the news, at his wife's funeral, he comes out and he takes his kids to the car. And he asks his kids, are they okay? And it looked like he tried to lean into his daughter, and the daughter does like this. You can get so caught up in your flesh that you don't think, how does this affect other people? How does this affect other people's lives who love me, whose name is connected to me? One of the things I've often thought about, okay, is that, you know, I'm a junior. My father did not live a very good life, okay? Did not have a very good name, okay? And so I guess it's the positive thing is that as I grew up, he wasn't around. But I often think about that. I often think about people who call their kids the second and the third, and then you mess up your name, which now has messed up their name. You got to think long, and you got to think wide. Everybody say longevity. So you got to think about your decisions today. How will affect tomorrow? I think it was Aretha Franklin. He said, you got to think. Think about what you're trying to do to me. Come on, think. Think. Got to think about how your decisions affect tomorrow. So strategy for longevity, first of all, it requires preparation. Everybody say preparation. And when the Bible tells us about preparing, it takes us to a very simple animal or insect. Proverbs 6:6-8. It says, go to the ant. He said, just go look at an ant. Proverbs 6:6. He said, go to the ant, you sluggard. Sluggard means you lazy person. Let me add, lazy, trifling, good for nothing. No, don't say all that. Just sluggard. It means somebody's lazy. He said, just go to the ant. He said, consider her ways and be wise. Learn from the ant. which has no guide, no overseer, and no ruler. I'm convinced that the more integrity you have, the less you need somebody looking over your work. The more integrity you have, the more you need to have to punch a clock. Which having no guide, no overseer, no ruler, provideth meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. He said the ant prepares because the ant like, I ain't gonna be out here in this snow looking for some food. So I need to get the food in the summer so I can go underground in the winter. And he's saying that an ant prepares. If you're gonna have a strategy for longevity, you need to be preparing for your future. You need to be preparing for your children's future. You need to be preparing for your grandchildren's future if you can. Proverbs 30:25, it says, the ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So a rhetorical question, are you preparing? Are you preparing for being older? Are you preparing for how things are gonna be 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Regarding your finances, regarding your relationships, I'm gonna talk more about that in a moment. So you got to think about tomorrow and the long-term results of your decisions today. You gotta think about tomorrow and the long-term results of your decisions today. So the text says, keep your mouth from speaking guile and basically walk in the ways of God. You gotta realize that everything you do and everything you say today are seeds planted for tomorrow. Let me say that again. Everything you do and everything you say today are seeds for tomorrow. Now, what is a seed? A seed is something sown small, but it grows big. A seed is something that can even look insignificant, but it produces something very significant. Look at Mark 4. Mark 4, 31, 32, when Jesus starts talking about seed, he says, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, when it starts off, when it's sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Talking about a mustard seed. It is so small, he says, the smallest seed in the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air can lodge under the shadow of it. And as I looked at that verse, I started thinking about, now, this is a good thing. It's a good thing that he's saying, you know, it starts off as a small seed, becomes a mustard tree and great branches, and now birds can lodge in it. But do you want everything you're doing today to grow? Do you want whatever you're doing today to have more branches? And that's what I say to y'all a lot about how we live our lives in front of our children. Because you're planting seeds, you're gonna have more branches of that. I saw that in my family. I saw them sow those seeds of everybody shacking, living together, and now third generation, everybody just shacking. Nobody getting married. Because it became what they saw. They sowed seeds, now they got branches. Do you want to have branches from the activity that you're having today? Every day we're sowing seeds through our actions. Every day we're sowing seeds through our action. Psalms 112, 5 and 6, it says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. So see, a good man, you know, helps other people out. And he will guide his affairs with discretion, and surely he will not be moved forever. I mean, he go through something, but he's gonna come out of it. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. You know, I grew up hearing stuff like, you know, it don't matter, you know, everything was about heaven and hell. So people say, it don't matter how you live, if you don't receive Jesus, you're going to hell. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But good deeds are rewarded in the earth. Now, good deeds don't necessarily get you going to heaven, but good deeds can make you have some good relationships. Good deeds can give you a good name. Good deeds can make somebody want to help you. No, you can't do good deeds to go to heaven. You do good deeds, okay, to build relationships with people. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. Psalms 112 and 9, it says, this good man, he has dispersed abroad, that's talking about being generous, he's given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. His home will be exalted with honor. He said, the person who does good, helps people, and bless people, it produces great harvest for his life and for his family years to come.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.